I am Planta Online. This is thecommentary.ca. La Carmina joins me now. The author and popular blogger has written a new book, Cute Yummy Time, 70 Recipes for the Cutest Food You'll Ever Eat. Its recipes are inspired by the Japanese bento box tradition, but the food is common to our North American culture. Kawaii is a word for all things cute, and the trend is already rampant in Japan and has been part of the culture here, what with Hello Kitty, Pokemon, and Astro Boy. The food in Cute Yummy Time is charming to look at, and as the National Post said, almost too adorable to consume. La Carmina is a graduate of Columbia and Yale Law School. Her website, lacarmina.com, is a very popular fashion website featuring Carmina's tastes in gothic Lolita Japanese fashion. We'll discuss her clothing line as well, which is inspired by Tim Burton and Marie Antoinette. She's written three previous books on Japanese pop culture and food. Her first book was The Cosmos in a Carrot. The book is published by Perigee, an imprint of Penguin. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, La Carmina. Good morning, Carmina.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
You're very welcome. So where's home for you?
Home is all around the world. I'm a nomad at the moment. I've been spending about half of my time in Tokyo, which is great for me. I've been able to go there for work. I also spend a lot of time in Vancouver, where I grew up, and I'm also in New York quite often. At the moment, I'm hopping around.
And growing up in Vancouver, what influence did that have, do you think, on your life?
I think that there's a really big Asian population here, and always a big interest in popular culture, Asian popular culture. I remember as a child going to the Hello Kitty stores, picking up the latest stationery. It almost felt like I was in Hong Kong at times, especially when I was in Richmond.
Yeah. This whole kawaii, I pronounced that correctly, did
yep.
I? How long has this been going on?
In the 1970s, Hello Kitty came around 1974, 1976. There began to be an interest in Japan in childlike writing and then childlike character design. Hello Kitty popped up. Other characters similarly drawn became popular, and it really spun out from there. I grew up with kawaii culture all around me. I was always taking trips to Hong Kong and Tokyo. I'd see these characters, buy them. They were always a big part of my life.
But back to living in Japan for just a sec. You said you spent half of your time in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just the living in a different city, I mean, is it conducive, do you think, to for someone who's not from that culture, perhaps? To living there?
I think it is. I love being an observer, an outsider in a different culture. I feel like it gives me an opportunity to explore and be wide-eyed, to really be fascinated and want to discover more about the culture. When I'm there, I never feel jaded. I always want to be going out, seeing new things, checking out the latest party, figuring out what the latest store is, what's exciting in Japanese fashion.
And you're to the point now where you're living there not as a tourist, you're living there almost as part of the, I mean, you know the place pretty well, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like home.
Yeah. Now, the fascination with Japanese culture, you're not of Japanese descent.
No.
Where did this begin?
My parents are from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And Hong Kong also has a big fascination with cute culture. Ever since I was a kid going there, I was surrounded by cute characters, and that's really where it started. I feel like many of the big Asian cities are just as influenced by cute character design as Tokyo.
Now, people in North America, do they get this? I mean, do you encounter people that probably don't understand the fascination with cute characters?
I think more and more people have been growing up with Hello Kitty on their shelves, on their notebooks. And especially with the explosion of Hello Kitty collaborations, plus new cute characters, Tarana Tarantino doing a lot of the designs, or Tokidoki, I think that people in North America are much more accustomed to seeing cute characters drawn in the Japanese style everywhere. I think it's becoming just as familiar to them as it was to me growing up.
Now, this book, who did you write this book for? I mean, it's just great to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Is it for the parent, perhaps, that makes lunches for their children?
I think it is for parents. It's for kids as well. I have had a lot of kids come to my book signings. They simply fall in love with the idea of turning their favorite foods into a cute face. Or a cute little mouse, macaroni and cheese becomes a pirate mouse. Or a sandwich, a ham and cheese sandwich, becomes a cat's face. Kids have, and also there's a story that runs through the pages about me and my cat that appeals to kids. But really, everyone, I have people from, of all ages coming up and saying, I've been trying this, I made the coffin tiramisu, it was a big hit at a Halloween party. I think cute cooking goes beyond any age group.
You mentioned your cat, Basil Farrow. He's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Yes.
Does he travel with you all over the world, wherever you go?
At the moment, he doesn't.
Now, what kind of cat is he? Because I've seen videos of him on YouTube.
Yes, he's very popular on YouTube, Basil Farrow. He's a Scottish fold cat. His ears flip over. They're really, really tiny and flip over, hence the name. He's a special breed.
He, I mean, you look at the cat, and, you, and he's different than other cats.
Like he's different.
Yeah, he seems friendlier. Is that the case?
Yes, he's not just friendlier. He's a teddy bear who insists on being carried around, cuddled. He's a genius. He has a real personality of his own.
Yeah. How old is the cat?
Around 5 or so.
Yeah. And Ronan Farrow, he's the father?
He is the father, yes.
People that don't know who he is, he's the son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You went to Yale with him? Is that how you guys met? Or?
Yeah. And so we had a son together who ends up being a Scottish fold cat.
Yeah. What does a cat eat like a cat like that eat?
Well, we treat Basil Farrow like a prince, so he only eats the most natural, non-byproduct foods. He eats a natural balance salmon. It's a little, it's a low-calorie brand because he's a little bit roly-poly.
Yeah. In terms of the food here, I sort of remember the first book. They sent me your first book. How long ago was that? 4 years ago?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and I guess I was supposed to interview then, and I guess we just never got to it. I'm trying to remember now what the book was about. I mean, it's about the food that we eat, and I don't know why I have the impression that you're a vegetarian. Are you?
I'm not. I eat mostly a vegetarian diet, but I'm not 100%. I'm more flexible.
Yeah, and the food in the book is not obviously a vegetarian for vegetarians. It's for everyone, right?
In Cute Yummy Time? Yes, yeah. There's something for everyone. Although there are vegetarian recipes and a couple that can be even made to be vegan.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the food in here and how you make it look cute and yummy at the same time, is it time-consuming? I mean, that's the only thing that I saw from reading the recipes, that it just seemed like it would take a long time to make.
Eyes can be deceived. They look so cute, but everything, the decorations take 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes maximum. Not even 20 minutes. I think they could take 5 to 10 minutes. And it's amazing how a few little cutouts from, and not even any special equipment is needed. You could use the back of a straw. You could use a circular cookie cutter. And just a couple of eyes and nose, if you layer it in the right way, you can create a phenomenal character with just 5 minutes.
And it's the same ingredients that we would have, or the same, you know, the same food that we would eat, and we just decorate it a bit better, right? Yeah.
You could use leftover salmon in the fridge. If you wanted to turn your eggs into a chick, you could just grab a little piece of carrot and cut out some eyes using red leaf lettuce, one of my favorite ingredients for eyes. Maybe add some flourishes using some other vegetables, and there you have it. Just imagine Hello Kitty's face made of, or for example, let's say the face is made of rice, then you've got the eyes made of lettuce or maybe seaweed, then some garnishes all around. It really doesn't take that long to do, but the result's stunning.
Do you find that picky eaters will want to eat food that looks like this more than, say, food that doesn't look like this?
Oh, you bet. You bet. Kids will come up and say, oh, I want to try this. I think it's a great way to introduce kids first to cooking. They love to participate. It's a great way to get them involved in the kitchen. And secondly, if you want to present them with healthy foods, and by the way, the book, everything in the book is super healthy, all natural ingredients. There are no candy or junk food, anything like that. I think if you want kids to try, say, squash for the first time, rather than sneaking it into a recipe, why not make it there up front, but turn it into, I made it into the shape of bunny ears. The kids will think, this is so cute. Now I really am curious and want to try it.
Are there places in Vancouver where you can eat food that looks like this?
There are not, to my knowledge, but this is something that anyone can do at home. Even if you're going out to a restaurant, you could whip something up impromptu.
Yeah. And in restaurants in Japan, say, the food looks like this when you order it?
In some places, there is a cute little twist to it, especially in cafes. I have a section for cute lattes, which actually Arthur Nguyen from Wicked Coffee in Vancouver helped me to do.
That's near Granville, right?
There are two locations. One is downtown, and one is right near Granville Island, you're right.
Yeah.
Hemlock and 7th. But what he did was he turned a latte with a couple of dips and flourishes. You can turn a latte into a cute face. A cute bunny's face, a cat, a mouse. In Japan, you will often see cute lattes. You might see desserts shaped like animals. Let's say a bumblebee made of crackers and ice cream.
Now, the popularity of your website, has that surprised you?
It did surprise me, yes. It's something we can never predict. I didn't think that this would be more than a hobby. I thought, you know, I'd start blogging, see what happens, probably give it up in a month or so. But somehow the medium really felt comfortable with the medium of blogging to the point where I'm now blogging every single day. Plus, I guess the readers have been responding. As we talked about before, there's more and more interest, especially among young people, in Japanese pop culture. So people will come to have a glimpse of what's going on in Japan, what are the latest fashion trends, cute trends. That's what I live and breathe.
Yeah, and I guess your day job, would that be the clothing line?
Actually, at the point, it's more writing. I write for CNN Go.
Yeah.
And I do the blog, I do the writing, the books, the book touring. I was doing the clothing line, but because I had to do this book tour and a thousand other things, I've been doing a lot more TV. So I did have to put that on hold for the time being.
I described the clothing line as sort of a cross between Tim Burton and Marie Antoinette. This may seem like a stupid question, but do you dress like that all the time?
Unless I'm in bed sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much wherever I go. I think it's important to always dress up. You never know what could happen. One should always be in the mood.
Do people roll their eyes, say, if you're on the street?
I think people are curious. They say, hey. But I think that's great. I think every day should be Halloween. Every day should be a parade. Why not?
We just passed Halloween. Did you have a costume?
Oh, gosh, I had 5.
Did you really?
I celebrated Halloween for 5 days straight. In New York City.
Yeah.
There were a ton of parties. I'm still recovering. But, of course, I had to have a different costume for every single day.
Yeah. Now, I understand as well that you're a big fan of Anthony Bourdain.
I am a huge fan of Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, what is it about him? I mean, I watch him on TV, and he's just compelling to watch.
Yeah, I think it's because his attitude, his personality. He's not some pretty blonde chick reading lines at a camera. And I think that with blogging, this has brought journalism and presentation to a much more personal style. I think people also visit my site because I'm not reporting the straight facts. I'm reporting what I hear and think. I'm using my voice. Anthony Bourdain is similar. He's got his quirks. He's a little snarky and jaded and a little bit bad. And people like that. People like to see characters and their point of view.
The other thing that I read on your website is that he did a program in Japan and you reenacted it?
I did. I gathered up a bunch of my goth friends and we went to every single place, or not every single place, but most of the places Bourdain went to on his Tokyo episode. We did our own gothic spin on things.
It just sounds like fun to do.
It was great, and I don't know if you heard about the Andrew Zimmern show. I was able to be on that.
Really?
I co-hosted an episode of Andrew Zimmern's Bizarre World in Tokyo just earlier in October. Travel Channel flew me there. I got to take Andrew Zimmern around to different theme restaurants. Along with my friends, we dressed up, we went to a fetish party. It was the biggest adventure.
Yeah, that sounds cool, yeah. Now, I mentioned that you'd gone to law school. Practicing law, is that something that you'd do down the line?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think it's for me. I enjoyed going for the training, for the experience, but it never felt like a good fit for me. This makes a lot of sense.
Now, your family, what does your family think?
Oh, they love what I do.
Yeah.
I think if you know a person, there's certain things that you can't force a person into a certain mold. And if a person is, it's not as if this is a trend that I'm latching onto. It's something I've always been, always growing up as a kid.
Yeah. But they'd probably want you to be a lawyer, wouldn't they?
No.
No, really? Yeah.
There are downsides to being a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next thing for you, the next project, other than promoting this book?
There's a lot of TV stuff in the works. I just did a Travel Channel. There might be a documentary coming up that I'll be in, and some other stuff that can't talk about quite yet, but let's just say if you're a fan of Anthony Bourdain and Andrew Zimmern, you might like this quite a bit.
Well, we'll follow you on the website, lacarmina.com. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I've been reading you for years now.
Oh, thank you. And I've always been keeping track of your show.
Thanks very much. Continued good luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. The book is called Cute Yummy Time, 70 Recipes for the Cutest Food You'll Ever Eat. Perigee is an imprint of Penguin. They're publishing the book. The website, of course, lacarmina.com. La Carmina herself on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.